Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. All right, welcome to episode 142 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, the only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, long day, good day. You know, always a, you know, when it's a good tiring day, it's always a really, really awesome day. But, you know, the everybody out there is probably thinking, well, what happened to the intro and stuff like that? Well, y'all, every time we turn around, it's like every single video we're doing as of late is getting flagged or demonetized or whatever the case may be. Yeah. And I mean, every single one of them. So we're not giving them any opportunity to bust us for copyright or any of that other stuff. But, you know, there's a high probability that we're going to say something during this show that's probably going to get it flagged anyway.
Right.
So as always, y'all, this episode brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Heaven's Harvest, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA, P-E-R-M-A. Remember, source everything you can yourself. You're going to save the biggest pile of money by doing it that way, but the things you can't get, or the things you can't source immediately, you know, around you, check out Heaven's Harvest. They got some ballin' seeds. Batting 1,000 on those. I mean, every single seed we put in the ground from them has, they say, only an 85% germination rate, and it's been 100%. So I've really got no complaints whatsoever with Heaven's Harvest. Remember, 10% off with promo code PERMA. And also, don't forget about the Fountain app. If you want to listen to the audio portion of this podcast over there, feel free to go check us out over there. And if you would like, you can drop some money to us if you so desire. If you think we're worthy, you can do a derivation of Bitcoin called sats, S-A-T-s. So drop some S-A-T-s on some P-I-M-P's. Yeah, almost. Which stands for permaculture is my passion. I'm doing everything backwards here. Yeah. So if it doesn't make sense. Hey, thanks everybody in the chat. Thank you so much for being here. If you would, hit that thumbs up on the way in. It apparently tells everybody at YouTube and all the other places to immediately suppress what we're saying. So yeah. Be sure to hit that thumbs up no matter what. Well, how's it going with you, son?
Pretty good. I mean, it was just a, you know, fun day with Ben and Denise. They came over and came to see the baby and all that. And Denise put the baby to sleep immediately. She started rocking on that chair. And the baby just melted in her lap.
It was like every 5 minutes she'd reach over and kiss the baby. It was like
mid conversation.
And I was like, man, I'm not even gonna be able to hold my grandbaby, man.
You held her, and she got passed around a few times.
Yeah, but I get that. I don't get the snuggle time that I'm accustomed to. So it's been a great day. So other farm news. If you've seen it, I guess I accidentally hit the wrong button. It was supposed to be for Patreon. I'm not sure, but it was their portion of Patreon. And I was on the Angry American podcast, and it's spelled A-N-G-E-R-Y, Angry American podcast. And a great group of guys over there. Y'all go check them out. I mean, these are my people. This is the kind of people I love. There's all kinds of great comedy, especially the stuff that didn't make it to the radio. And they talk about some real stuff over there that really in these times you're going to want to know about. It's a crazy world. And somehow it's really cool when you're in there where these guys are very serious guys. They're very, very good at what they do. And from a tactical sense or whatever the case may be. And so I was invited to go on with them, and it was a really fun time. I guess, you know, it turned into 2 hours, and that's always a good thing. I mean, you know, and it's like time just disappears when you're in the company of people you really like hanging around. So I'm really looking forward to the next Mountain Readiness Festival, and we'll get to that in a minute. We're even going to have a code where you can go sign up right now. So honestly, one of the coolest festivals I've ever been to. Top-notch instruction. I mean, classes out the wazoo. It was absolutely a fantastic time, and then getting to hang out with these guys on the back end was really, really a joy for me. So, other things going around in the space here. And thanks again, everybody coming in. Remember, hey, what's up, Bowen? Yeah, everybody hit that thumbs up.
Thanks, Thunderstick.
That's my man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So people are asking about the bone sauce. Yeah, we're getting on the shady side of what we have right now. So when it runs out, it's what it is because we're in a drought right now, high fire danger. So, you know, I got to make this stuff outside. It's not like you can make this in the oven.
The those forest fire guys, they were on the way to some forest fire up the just up the mountain, I think, on the way to Burnsville when I was leaving for jiu-jitsu practice the other day.
Yeah.
They were a whole bunch of them, just like a whole train just going up the up the mountain.
About a year ago, you caught that guy. I mean,
well, we all did. We were all outside.
I couldn't believe it. This dude, literally, he must have been so bombed out of his mind. We kept having fires, and this Chinese silvergrass, which is across the way from us, I mean, it was like a weekly thing, sometimes twice a week. We'd have fires and nobody even know, like, how did that even happen?
Yeah, like small, it never really turned into anything except for that one. And we filmed that one, yeah. But there was, they mostly never really turned into anything. They just looked like little fires that somebody would start on the side of the road and then leave. Well, and then the guy did it right in front of us while we were out building the high tunnel.
Some hoople-headed crackhead went out there and literally in front of us was apparently so intent on starting this fire. Literally started the fire right there in front of
us. We weren't even hiding. Dad was on top of a bright blue 14-foot ladder. It wasn't even like we were definitely there. We had the speaker going. We had power tools going. We had all kinds of stuff going.
And you saw him. What did you do? You run down the driveway or get in the car?
Yeah, I ran down the driveway. But there was a lady that apparently worked in government that was like pulled up right behind him. And then they ended up pulling him over. He confessed to a whole lot more than just starting fires. Apparently he had like wild animals at home. He had some sort of snakes he wasn't supposed to have.
Yeah, he had like a whole snake house going on. I mean, this dude was as crazy as
and then admitted to doing it for like 20 something years.
I mean, sat here, the fire bug that's been plaguing this place, who even knew we'd be the one to catch this guy? Literally, he's that kind of guy, man. He looks at you the wrong way, you're going to come home to a foundation. And it could have been really bad because there's a farm next to us where they're all about educating kids and stuff, man. I hate to think what would happen.
Oh, yeah. And they have a ton of silvergrass.
Yeah, they got kids out there, and then all of a sudden the fire comes. Good night, man. That could be bad news. Anyway, glad his butt's in jail, but it is higher fire danger right now. So I got to put I can't make bone sauce until we get back, you know, get to some level of being okay to set a fire out there. Yes, I'm not trying to burn up the entire mountainside. But, you know, despite there being a drought right now, everything is green out there.
Yeah.
I mean, everything we haven't.
You notice the stuff behind the house has stayed greener longer than the stuff down at the bottom of the property. Like the figs and stuff, like the fig tree that was back here, the peach tree and all that stuff has stayed greener longer than the food forest down at the bottom of the property.
Yeah, because they're getting indirect sunlight right now and they're also being shielded. I got a theory on that. I'm thinking some of the house radiation is making a difference on that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean the growth, I mean, Ben and Denise were over here today and they can't even, I was out there early. He's like, dude, I remember when you planted this tree less than 2 years ago and look at this thing now. I mean, this thing is just, and there's a reason for it. Maybe in future episodes, I'll talk about why it is because I've been doing something of an experiment, lots of experiments going on all the time. But right now we're seeing incredible, incredible growth. Just using some serious compost teas. And that one peach over here that's really blowing up is a result mostly of every time I'd make some compost extract, I throw the excess around that peach.
Right. That thing is massive now. And it's in the way, actually, of the parking. It's in the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to prune some of that one back. But things are, you know, it's a drought, but you never know it here. So it just goes to show, y'all, stay on good management, learn some good management techniques with your animals. And you'd be shocked, but we're supposed to be getting some rain early morning tomorrow. So that'll be maybe a quarter inch. So remember, for every percent of organic matter you get down in that soil, that's the equivalent of an Olympic size swimming pool per acre that you're able to put down in the ground. That's just with 1%. So you want to try to, you know, keep your management on point and it'll take care of you as well. So you know, as far as other farm news going on, demonetizing videos every time you turn around.
And you can't get an explanation.
Yeah,
they send the demonetization notice through an email that you can't respond to.
Yeah. But it's not just happening to us. It's happening to a lot of people out there. But, you know, if you don't find us here, you know, we still have the audio form of the podcast, or, you know, in other cases, it might very well be other platforms like Rumble, Brighteon, and stuff like that. So
this one can't be on Brighteon because the file size is too big. Yeah, we've tried to get on Brighteon before.
Well, we'll do what we can. I mean, we'll try to maintain out there, y'all. But we're getting in that kind of world where people that were once champions for free speech are now saying, hey, stifle anybody that doesn't agree with us. So, yeah, it's what it is. But, hey, you know, it's still a day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. And speaking of being joyful, good night, man. This weather is phenomenal. I mean, absolutely. T-shirt weather in the morning, fantastic. You can't complain one bit about the wonderful weather we got going on. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to stay like this for a while. So I'm guessing the predictions for the weather through the winter are going to be exactly what we noticed last year, where where go ahead and tell everybody.
They make it sound like it's going to be freezing. They make the prediction at the beginning of the week where the rest of the week is going to be absolutely freezing. It never reaches those temperatures. It stays pretty mild, but they never go back and change the what they predicted. So the record looks like it was an absolutely freezing winter, when in all reality, it wasn't. That wasn't an accurate temperature gauge of what happened.
Yeah, so they're, and then honestly, you look at one weather prediction. Actually, I got somebody in the Q&A that actually made a statement about that. And strangely enough, we're already kind of doing part of it. All right, y'all, before I get into Pastor Lon, I want to remind you, attached to this show at the bottom of it, maybe not on the, is it going to be in the YouTube version as well?
What are you Mountain talking Readiness about? Yeah, that's linked to, yeah, it's linked already.
Okay. So yeah, Mountain Readiness Festival, y'all, it is fantastic. And I mean, unbelievable, top-notch instructors, classes that'll blow your mind. I'm looking forward to the next one. I keep complaining about not knowing how to tan hides, and hopefully I'm going to learn that there.
Well, there was just a question. When is the time and date for the brain tanning class?
Yeah, well, it's going to be, the actual festival is going to be May. Now, this is way off, but really, everybody right now has to plan for things. I mean, so I'm telling you right now, May 3rd through the 5th. Yeah, that's a little ways off. I got it. Yeah, but some of us need that far out to plan for these things. And it's pretty much the only thing going at that time of year that I know of, but as I understand it, there's going to be like a 3-day class before then, and I'm planning on being part of that. And then plus I'll be teaching in the actual festival itself. But y'all, I'm telling you, top-notch instruction all the way up one side, down the other. I couldn't believe, I mean, what I learned in just the short time I was there. So
yeah.
So definitely get signed up for that. We're going to have a link down below if you want to get over there and sign up for that. So yeah. They're trying to get people committed right now because it makes sense. And it helps when you go further ahead, when people are doing these festivals. I know we live in a weird place right now. Everything should have fallen apart months ago, but here we are limping on. So maybe consider not living your life as if, you know, I spent a lot of years doing that, you know, thinking that things are going to jump off. I mean, it can't get much worse. And then lo and behold, they go and pull out the next stop. And then here you are to the next one. And that's just so I'm not living my life as if everything's going to fall apart tomorrow. I'm as prepared as I could hope to be right now. And you never get to a point where you arrived in preparedness, but you don't live in fear either. But it is a great benefit to the people that are putting this on if you're able to sign up early. And, you know, this is the first ones that got with me. So I'm going to be there. I'm going to be teaching. Not quite sure yet what I'm going to be teaching, but go there, sign up, and I think you're going to be glad you did. Let's see, what else we got in here? Yeah, we're going in straight to Pastor Lon.
Yeah, he's in the chat.
Oh, okay, cool. I saw, okay, there he is, Homesteading Pastor. Yeah. What's up, Pastor Lon? And because I saw Bo and he wrote down there, good evening, Pastor Lon. I didn't see him there. This thing's so doggone far away. I can't see
You can
see
pull
nothing.
It up on your, I was going to say, you can pull it up on your iPad if you want to.
Well, I'm just going to rely. I ain't switching it in the middle of the ball game right now. With that said, y'all, we're going to go straight into the Homesteading Pastor, Pastor Lon.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Lon. I got one verse of scripture for us tonight. It's in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. man, when I read that scripture, I think about testimony time. I think about I'm ready to give an answer on why I believe what I believe, what I read in God's word, what I felt in my spirit, what God has done for me. When I look around and see what he's done for me and my family, my friends and my coworkers, you see, we all got a story to tell, and somebody out there needs to hear your story. The story of what God has done for you in your life makes him real to those who hear your story. You see, people may turn their nose up at biblical principles. They may even argue with theology, but they cannot deny a person's personal experience, meaning from what God has brought them from, the man or the woman they used to be to the man or the woman that they are today. They cannot deny that God has changed a person's life. You see, stories that we tell capture the listener's attention, and it draws them in, and it stirs their emotions. And when we testify of the goodness of God, many times people look at that as strictly for salvation, that what God done for you when he sent his only begotten son, you received him as your Lord and Savior. But it's much more than that. You see, coming to Christ is only the beginning of the first page of many chapters to come in your life. It may be the turning point in someone's life, and that's great, but it should never be the ending. A testimony is remembering and telling what God has done for you in your personal life. It may be something like, let me tell you what God done for me at the grocery store. Or let me tell you what God taught me while I was on my walk out in nature this morning. Or let me tell you how God or Jesus Christ has healed my child. Let me tell you how God has restored my marriage. And the list goes on and on of the goodness of God when we're ready to give an account for why we believe what we believe. You see, there's always somebody out there that needs to hear your story. So I want to encourage you today, no matter where you've been in life, tell the story of what where you were and where you are now. Sometimes we tell that story with words, but sometimes we tell it with our actions, as people can see the difference in the man or the woman we used to be to the man and woman we are today. So don't be ashamed to testify the goodness of God and share your story, because I assure you, somebody out there needs to hear it.
Right on, y'all. Check him out. Pastor Lon over. Check it out at Homesteading Pastor. Get over there, subscribe. You'll be glad you did. And what I really love about what he does on his channel are the shorts, not the shorts, but, you know, I'm in between a whole lot of things throughout the course of a day. And I love that I can put it on and I can get that download. And I'm like, okay, now I'm equipped. I mean, there's something I can think about. Like right now, I didn't understand the value. I took this course, Eric Sider hooked me up with it, and it was on public speaking and things of that nature. The guy who is phenomenal at teaching this course, he says, look, you want the fastest way to get somebody's attention? And it falls right in line with what Pastor Lon is saying here. Tell a story. Tell a story. We came from societies and places where people tell stories. And it's one of the biggest ways and the best ways to open that door. And then honestly, when you're telling your testimony, which I'll be honest with you, I mean, mine is so mired with this and that I'm reluctant to even talk about it. And then last night in that podcast, when I was on with those boys, I actually told some of that, not because I hate people feeling sorry for me, because I don't feel sorry for me. I'm redeemed. And so I'm reluctant to talk about it, but definitely there is a massive value in it. And it might make somebody else think, you know what, maybe I don't have it so bad. Because no matter what you think you're doing or how bad you think it is, there's somebody else dealing with problems way worse than that. Once again, thanks a million, Pastor Lon.
Yeah, there was a Beta Try Again was asking, is this a live call? No, it's a pre-recorded call that Pastor Lon sends in, and then we play it live on this live live chat right now.
Yeah, and I couldn't be more thankful for it. I mean, so many people are so blessed by that. And, you know, I hate to ask him to do it, because I know he's probably the busiest yeah. man I know. I mean, he wears more hats than anybody I know, and still, you know, reaches out there and does so much to minister to so many. And being a pastor, y'all, don't forget, is a thankless job. I mean, nobody ever think about it. Nobody ever thinks about a pastor or a lawyer until they get in trouble. I mean, not always the case, but you get the point. And, you know, it's a thankless job. It's a selfless job, and it takes very special souls to do it. So, Pastor Lon, blessings to you and Miss Robbie and everybody else out there. So,
everybody's saying love, hi to y'all. Him right now. Everybody yeah,
they need to, because yeah. like I said, he's the hardest working man I know. I don't know how I told your mom just yesterday, I don't know how they do all they do.
No. We were just talking about it. Yeah,
Ben and Denise, when they were over earlier, I was like, to this day, I can't figure out how they do all they do. But they get it done, y'all. So be sure to check them out, and maybe they'll download some of that information as well. All right, so typically we go through the bad news, good news section. Now it's all good news. So how about that? Remember the good news, most of all, which is another way of saying gospel, and that brings us right back to Pastor Lon and what he talks about. So just remember that good news, and I'm talking about the gospel. All right, y'all, so where it used to be the bad news, it's just strictly good news. Well, check this one out. Indonesia says that half a million acres of palm plantations are going to be turned back into forest. Now, the cool thing about this article is when the palm oil craze was really blowing up, they decimated their old growth forest or their equivalent of it. And they just put in a monocrop of palm trees.
Not just Indonesia, though, the whole Southeast Asia.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody said, oh, they're paying this good money for this. All right. You can't blame them for, in a lot of ways, man, these people are doing all they can to put bread on the table. So now it's gotten to the point now that the palm oil craze is kind of eased up. They're saying, all right, so let's go ahead and turn this thing back into what it should have been. This time, when we put it back, we're going to see if we can put in, we're going to basically do basically a giant food forest. Massive. I mean, that's what it looks like when you read that article. So the beauty is that monocrops don't work. Name one place in nature you see a monocrop that man didn't intervene. And then in every single case, you're going to find out what are you plagued with. Bunch of disease and everything else. Sounds an awful lot like God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and we find that, y'all, every single time. The more we move to the way, if you go out in the zone five, which is basically wilderness, go out there, and if man hadn't messed it up already, go out there, look around, see what you see. Take a good look. And I guarantee you, if you take what you, in fact, if you doubt me, just go take some awesome forest soil, add it to your vegetable box and see what happens. Take some, put it around your trees, see what happens. So it's like, you know, if you just go out there, observe, and then take all those things, take them back home, you're going to be shocked at what you see unfold. So every step you take towards doing it the way you see in nature, you're going to have five steps right back to you.
Yeah, there's compounding effects just from doing like a few things correctly. Yeah. Just by putting cardboard down and covering it with mulch, there's compounding effects. There's a bunch of benefits just doing one thing.
It's funny you mention that because all that ground down the way that was hard as woodpecker lifts when we first got here, smooth and silk right now, but I'm about to do it all over again. Now we got some grasses coming up in there I don't want. And so all I'm going to do, just like William said, I'm going to take some cardboard, wet it down. I'm going to cover it up with mulch, and then I'm just going to stand back. That's all there is to it. I mean, it really doesn't require more than that.
Yeah.
All right. Some other good news here. Well, they come up with this one. It's called five tips to starting your homestead. Now, this is going to be, I know we got record numbers. Now, you'd never know it based on the suppression that's happening to a lot of YouTube channels out there that deal with homesteading, preparedness, permaculture, spiritual. If you're talking about anything spiritual, you believe me, you're not getting the notifications. In fact, I talked to Pastor Lon about this a while back where I wouldn't get no notifications, and I still don't. I got to go looking for them.
You know what's blowing up, though? Huh. Preparedness channels.
Yeah.
Not homesteading channels, preparedness channels.
And a lot, well, okay, so what have you observed about a lot of these so-called preparedness channels?
Well, a lot of them, A, don't have permanent solutions, or B, are highly based off consumerism.
Or fear.
Not learning skills or any. See, I've noticed that like the ones that I've checked out, I haven't really been pushing fear. And a lot of them, it seems like quite a few of them have been like saying, hey, there's like, don't be, you know.
Well, what blows my mind are the ones that used to be homestead channels. And then when they saw how the algorithms were going, they're like, oh, I'm going to get into this preparedness fear stuff. And because they know they're just going to get pushed right to the top of the chain. Look, yeah, I could do that, but I got to sleep with me at night. I ain't about to engage in that kind of stuff. So, I mean, if it means that's what I got to do to get higher numbers. Remember, I said it from the very beginning from one of the first videos we ever did, and I still feel the same way. I remember the days when I was out there talking permaculture with whoever was working with me, and I was every bit as passionate back then talking about it to my tool buddy, trying to be as persuasive as I could to them as I was, you know, when we had 10 people. I mean, it wasn't never about getting a million subscribers. It's just finding the right people. And through this YouTube channel, and through all these different mediums, good night, man. I've made some fantastic friends here.
Yeah, and I don't want to say like all preparedness channels are bad. That's not what I'm saying. It's just some of them are very clearly trying to sell you the latest flashlight, and then some of them are actually trying to give you, you know, good information. Like, hey, you probably don't need this, this, and this in your bug out bag, and you should probably check out this and this in your bug out bag type stuff.
Well, check this out. You know, I see Big Bear Homesteads in the chat. You know what's cool? I was just talking about them today to Ben and Denise, talking about how they were dealing with the bees and the you know, all that stuff. I mean, and then here they are in the chat. So, man, got all my friends right here. How about that, y'all? So, yeah, go check them out. Real good stuff. They're actually one of the first, if not the first, homestead channel to be kicking this whole YouTube thing off. And he's one of the ones. It's funny I'm talking about this because it was a great interview that I did with him, but he's also one of those ones that refused to get into this thing of, you know, doing what everybody else is doing. Is part of why I respect them so much and what they're doing, because they didn't engage in any of that nonsense. And you could do it. And, you know, I'm not saying everybody's doing that. I'm just saying that there are people that once they saw the direction, they're like, we're going to lean away from this thing. We want more subscribers. So yeah, you got to sleep with yourself at night. But back to this article, in a nutshell, start where you are. I usually hate that expression, but it's true. Joel Salatin talks about it all the time. Start where you are. So don't tell me you want to farm 100 acres if it's like it's another biblical precedent. Okay, be a good steward of that apartment balcony you got, all right, if that's where you find yourself. Work that out. Maybe go find some borrowed ground. Maybe go requisition some. Like Joel Salatin says, they're growing weed in national parks. You ever thought about growing tomatoes?
I did jujitsu with a forest ranger, and he says you can get permits. Like, give them really any excuse, and you can get permits to go farm the woods. They really don't care. They're like, fine, that's more land we don't have to manage.
There you go. Run pigs out there. We'd have forest fires. That's a fact.
Yeah.
Number two, don't go too big too soon. Now, that is the good night, man. That might be the biggest killer for a lot of homesteads out there. People get into this, and then they wind up, you know, getting all the animals all at the same time. And then what do? They end up dropping out, and then they wind up right back in the city. Take it step by step. Well, that kind of goes hand in hand with the previous one. Master one thing, then move on to the next. You go out there, get the cows, pigs, chickens, everything. You don't know how to, you're going to do it all in the worst kind of way. Some of the people say chickens are the gateway drug, but I say gardens are. I say what could be and what should be are really perennial systems. Maybe figure out how to put in an orchard, man. That's passive food production. Once that thing takes root, you think about it. Think about it. Just one tree. If it takes root and you put out there, good night, especially if it's an apple and you pick the right kind of apple, it could be there for a long, long time. Okay. Four, hone your supplementary skills. You know, that goes without saying. And honestly, a good place to learn that is what I just talked about. Mountain Readiness, May 3rd through the 5th. Good family, awesome environment. The ballinest food truck I ever had in my life. I mean, man, don't even get me started. I went crazy on that food truck last week. So, yeah, I got his number. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again. And number five, tap into the local community. Well, that's part of what we're doing right here in this platform. I mean, we have a virtual community, but from time to time, we find ways to, you know, to be around one another. And you don't ever want to leave, I'll be honest with you. Because half the time, you know, you may be at work and you do this lifestyle. You see the world for what it is. You talk to the people there that are basically chained at the bottoms of Plato's cave. They don't want to get out of it. They don't care about it. All they want to do is watch. Ain't nothing wrong with watching a ball game, but if that's all you do, instead of, you know, looking at other ways and means to feed your family and do these other things, well, you're a pretty one-dimensional person when you get down to brass tacks. So when you're able to get out there in these communities, and when I say into your, you can do it at these festivals. Half the time you're going to go there and you're going to find out there's somebody there that's probably 5 miles down the road from you.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of people in the chat saying they're from Pennsylvania. I think I saw Georgia in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of community going on right here in the chat.
Yeah. And that's where it starts. I mean, it can start there. You have freesteading.com. I just don't have the bandwidth to be able to stay on there, but a lot of people are making connections on there. This is a good place. You know, like Ben and Denise, they did a chicken processing the other week, or last week, I think it was. I mean, I've been going nonstop doing these things forever and a day. But the question being, or the point being, is that, you know how many people I met there? We exchanged phone numbers. Turns out, for example, there was one guy, he's a doctor. He wasn't there. He wanted to be there. And your mom and I ran into a vet who was a big fan of what we do. And there's a number of other people out there, and then we're building these communities. You know what? If it wasn't for YouTube, I'd have never met Pastor Lon.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know.
Or 90% of these
people. Yeah, 90% of the folks out here. Well, a lot of them in the chat right now. YouTube, I met in person.
YouTube is an excuse to go meet somebody.
Yeah.
You can. That's a foot in the door just by saying, hey, I have a YouTube channel. Can I come interview you?
Yeah, it is. And then go learn about how they do things.
Yeah.
And then let me just say this also, because I was talking to Ben about this. Look, y'all, I don't know of a single legitimate homestead or farm that ain't got junk piles everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we don't
film them. At least one.
Well, at least one. You got to have one. And everybody's so self-conscious about this stuff. You're comparing your beginning with somebody else's middle a lot of times. I've done it. We've all done it. So people are reluctant to have somebody over because they got a junk pile here or something there. Man, that shows me you're actually doing something. You're going to have those piles. I mean, you know, nobody here is the Rockefellers. So don't feel reluctant about having folks over, because I guarantee you, they're going to get over there and they're going to say, oh, okay, I feel a little bit better now because I got some junk piles in my place.
Right.
We got them here. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. I think one video we did where we talked about it.
Yeah.
Where we talked about being self, you know, conscious about these things. Man, forget about all that nonsense.
They're not junk piles. They're my treasures.
Yeah.
Three Little Goats Homestead.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, they really are. They really are. So as far as, you know, abandoning... You know, having people come over. Now, you may have tactical reasons you don't want folks over. There may be things you don't want them to see. And I get that. I mean, I totally get it, because I don't just have anybody over here. If I haven't met you personally, chances are, you know, I can't take the risk of having you over here. Then you see what I got. Who was that king in Israel, man? Jehoshaphat? No, doggone it. I can't think of that king. I was reading it in the Old Testament not long ago. You know, God healed. Everything was cool. All of a sudden, he let the enemy in there, showed him everything. And then look what happened to him.
If you want proof every homestead has junk piles, just look at the chat. Everybody's talking about their junk piles.
Oh, is that right?
Or their treasure piles. Sorry. Yeah. Everybody's got junk piles. No matter what homestead, no matter what farm. Which one was it? Thunderstick Bowen said, if you don't have a pile, you ain't doing nothing.
No, that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Think of a house that doesn't have a junk pile, and it's usually in the suburbs and an HOA.
Yeah. And you know what? Those are very antiseptic neighborhoods. And just like America has gotten very used to antiseptic warfare, you know, where you bomb them from way above and you don't have, you know, Civil War type casualty numbers, you know. You know, we've gotten very used to an antiseptic environment in terms of our homesteads, and we seem to think everything needs to be neat and orderly. Well, do you see that in nature? Is it in straight lines and rows? No, you don't do that. You don't see it. So, like I said, I don't want to beat that dead horse any more than I should. But the point being is that a lot of folks are reluctant to have anybody over because they're afraid of everybody seeing their junk piles. I know it sounds crazy.
It's not a junk pile. It's either treasure pile or inventory.
Yeah, it is some of that. All right. So remember, three good news. Okay. The last good news is he's on the throne. And guess what? The other good news is I got the cutest grandbaby on the planet. Yours is cute, but I'm sorry, y'all. Mine's cuter. She is the sweetest. William was the best baby. Everybody says that he was the best baby ever. And his baby girl is... She rivals him. She's every bit as good. I mean, she doesn't complain.
She really doesn't throw a fit. She just gets a little fussy when she's hungry or if she has a dirty diaper, if she's a little gassy. But that's really it. She just kind of chills.
All right.
Hangs out.
Yep. So that's the good news right there. Yeah. Believe it or not, y'all, good news is hard to come by. But there's a whole lot of it out there. And a lot of it, you just got to look around you. Just thank the good Lord for the family you got, the friends you got. The fact that even right now, for this little bit of time that we're in this chat, we can talk to one another. We can commiserate. We can chat with one another. And a lot of you folks seem to be doing that, even though I can't physically see it.
Ben Baker says she sounds unvaccinated. You're doggone right. There hasn't been a single needle on that baby.
Yeah. And this is what, this is right here where we got demonetized. So, you know, you bring that up. It's a wrap. Yeah. But, you know, if I had it to do over again, you would have been unjabbed as well. But, you know, we didn't have those.
I told you I had all my shots.
Yeah.
I told you when I was little, I had all my shots.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. But if I, you know, with the benefit of hindsight, I wouldn't have done it. But, you know, you live and learn. And, you know, it's poor as a pupil that does not surpass his master. So he did better than I did in that regard. But, you know, in fairness, you got information I didn't have.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. I'm not blaming you at all.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is what it is. All right, y'all. So before we get into the main topic, I want to – well, do we have anything from Eric?
Yeah, yeah. We okay, got I'll Eric and Chef Snow.
Okay, well, EMP Shield, y'all, before we get into Eric Sider, he's also going to give the tip of the day, which you want to stick around for. Remember, $50 off with promo code PERMA at EMP Shield. Remember, I'm a journeyman electrician with 25 years experience. Been doing this a long, long time. And they, the reason they didn't reach out to me, I reached out to them because they have a deal, a guarantee that you can't beat when it comes to your house. Your number one threat's always going to be lightning. Yeah, I know the world we live in right now, and we got a lot of concern about things like EMPs, but your number one threat is lightning. Their guarantee is so ironclad that if it gets past that thing and blows up anything in the house, 25 G's is what they're going to cover. That's why I reached out to them. Like I said, I've installed a lot of transient voltage surge suppressors all over this country, mostly in like car factories and tire plants and stuff like that. And I don't recall any of them having anywhere close to a guarantee like EMP Shield. So that's why I reached out to them to become a sponsor. Like I said, promo code PERMA, get you $50 off. And they also got stuff for all your vehicles and everything else. But the home is the primary place where I'm really trying to focus people on when it comes to an EMP Shield, because they aren't cheap. And, you know, nothing worth having is. Start with your home. Or start with your vehicle. And remember, it's not to get you, it's not to go to the club after something jumps off. It's to get your butt back home. But remember, start with that house. Start with your zone zero always. All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to go into my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, strategies for an alternative nation. Bill Mollison once described permaculture as sedition disguised as gardening. This becomes apparent as you read chapter 14. Strategies for an Alternative Nation from Permaculture, a Designer's Manual. This is where we learn how to actually organize ourselves into self-governing societies. The following are excerpts from Chapter 14. The following section gives strategies for change in the social and economic areas of society. These strategies may, in fact, be of more assistance to real change than the skills of land management, for society has far more competent farmers and engineers than it has ethical bankers or lawyers. The tragic reality is that very few sustainable systems are designed or applied by those who hold power. And the reason for this is obvious and simple. To let people arrange their own food, energy, and shelter is to lose economic and political control over them. In our present fiscal or money-run world, the primary responsibility that we need to take charge of is our wealth, which is the product of our sweat and our region, not representable by valueless currency. A people without an agreed-upon common basis to their actions is neither a community nor a nation. A people with a common ethic is a nation wherever they live. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider, and if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts, a remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog. You know what? In a nutshell, you know what he just said there, what Bill Mollison and really Eric just relayed there, and people are going to think it might be too simplified. Country Boy Can Survive, Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah.
That's what that song is about.
Yeah.
That's really what that song is about. I mean, get down to brass tacks. I know, I mean, it's just the coolest song ever. Especially for when Matt Hughes used to walk into the UFC with it.
There's no better demolish
ring.
People.
Yeah, there's no better ring music than Hank Williams Jr., I thought. But really, that's what that song is about, and that's really what he expressed there. You know, when you at the end of the day, if all of us are as we are ungovernable when you can supply your own needs, or maybe I don't supply all my own needs. Maybe part of that is, you know what, maybe with just the people in this chat. And by the way, Glenn says, I watched a video on YouTube about the resurgence of the blight-resistant American chestnut. Hey, Glenn, send me that, would you? I'd love to see that. But the
point- Well, that ties into the point because that's a fat right there. They can grow. I mean, it produces a ton. Like, if you get a full mature chestnut tree, that is a ton of fat that you can put away for the next year when it does it again.
I got a couple down the hill right now. One of them's doing real massive.
That one is really big.
Yeah, that one's starting to come around. But yeah, you know, when you get down to brass tacks,
you notice that those leaves they've survived longer than the rest of the trees in that area. You notice that their dormancy is a lot later in the season.
Yeah, I did notice that when I was down there the other day, adding more mulch to things around there. But you know, when you get down to brass tacks, I mean, we could have done the whole, and we really ought to do a whole show on just that part of it.
Yeah.
Is that, if you were to take just the people in the chat and created a community of the people that I'm looking at right now in the chat, I guarantee you we could It may not be the easiest thing in the world, but I guarantee you we could supply all of each other's needs by mutual exchange. I mean, by doing the kind of exchange where, let's say so-and-so does cows, this other person does pigs, or somebody does a series of a number of things. That's how we used to get along. And we're going to have to get back to that, because honestly, when you hear the stuff coming out from the powers that shouldn't be, well, you're going to eat bugs and be happy according to them. But and I ain't playing that game.
If, like the last episode we talked about, if you just say no, like if enough of us just say no, all this nonsense ends.
Well, that brings me into the main topic then, because we've talked about it before, about one of the things, and you know, the last video I did was regarding places you can go. Now, it was, I thought it was going to be considerably longer, because honestly, I could literally put together a 3-hour video of all the different places you can go that will work with you when it comes to sourcing the food you need for your chickens and pigs, you know, your omnivores. And you know, this is, we got to start thinking about these in a serious way. And here's the reasons why. You're not money ahead. Just like I said in that video, you're not money ahead if you got to buy feed. So even if you were able to supplement the feed, let's say on your chickens alone, because you're not money ahead raising your own birds. If anything, you're paying more for them eggs when you get down to brass tacks. And when you add your labor into it, you're not necessarily money ahead. In fact, the more holistic you go with it, the more labor physically you got into it. So how do you even the scales? How do you tighten this up? I've done many videos and I've covered a lot on Patreon as well. In fact, in Patreon, I would give away more of the honey holes, but the whole purpose and reason that I'm doing this, and I know everybody here is going to understand the reasons why, the entire reason of doing this is that we live on shaky ground. We are literally on a knife's edge, and we are to the point now where if you're reliant completely on going to the feed store, getting what you need for your chickens, or going to the feed store and getting all the feed you need, you think you're going to need for those pigs, you're not money ahead. So yeah, you know that they were raised right. But at the end of the day, if it ain't putting money in your pocket, you know, you got to start thinking of ways around that. And that's exactly why for years and years and years, I've been focused on this, put so much work into how to, because I had the door slammed in my face a whole lot of times before I got it figured out.
Right. And I was going to say the most important thing before we even like reveal the locations or anything is to make sure you don't tell them you're feeding it to animals. Make sure you tell them you're composting with it. And you're not lying, because you are going to compost the manure, whether the manure lands on animal bedding that you take and turn into an 18-day compost, or whether or not it lands in your pasture, it's still composting.
Right. So I'm never going to encourage you to lie, and you shouldn't, or even be deceptive. But I always say it's ultimately going to be compost. That's right. How I put it. And that's the absolute truth. It is ultimately going to be compost. Right now, before I even go into some of these locations maybe you haven't considered, make sure you, first of all, go in there. I've talked about it before. I'm just going to cover it again. Make sure you go in there between the hours of 2 and 4 if it's a restaurant, which 9 times out of 10, it's going to be something like that. Remember, they're not that busy there. Tuesday, best day of the week. Monday, you don't want to go because they just had a long weekend. Okay? The brain ain't working right. Friday, you don't want to go there because they're thinking about the weekend. You don't want to go then. Anytime Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday is a good time, but Tuesday's always the best. So, if you can, and it may not work out that way, try to hit them up those times. If you can, also make yourself look official. Don't, you know, you got to look the part. Shakespeare said the apparel oft proclaim the man, meaning that a lot of people make assumptions out of you based on how you're dressed.
Yeah, don't look like you're going to be eating out of the dumpsters.
Yeah, you want to make sure, I know a lot of us are farmers here, but you want to go in there, kind of look the part.
I've got a hole in my shirt right now.
That's not what you would want to wear.
No.
So go in there and absolutely positively go in there with a lot of confidence. And, you know, even if they say no, maybe have a business card look. Hey, if you ever, thank you so much for your time. If you ever reconsider, check me out. You want to open the door even a little bit wider? Go in there. Honey has gotten me more doors open than anything else. That's why I don't sell it. Number one, I give it away to my friends and, you know, family and whatnot. We use some of it. But I also use it as gifts. Well, hey, you know what? I know the answer is no, but hey, just, you know, this is what I do at my farm. Have that honey. You'd be shocked. Next time you go back and see that, they're going to remember you.
Yeah.
So if they can work with you, they will. Other important things, and I can't stress this enough, the number one reason that got me said that people said no to me was telling them I'm going to feed it to my animals. Right then and there, you might as well just walk right out because they're going to tell you no. To say ultimately it is going to become compost. Now, if they press me on it, yeah, I'll tell them I'll feed the animals because I ain't about to lie over it. But usually you can find, usually fundamentally people hate wasting stuff. They hate wasting food. And so it's of profound importance to them if you can alleviate some of that guilt that all of us has when you just, I don't know. I mean, where I grew up, man, my dad didn't care how much you ate. You just better not waste nothing. And fundamentally, we're all hardwired to not want to waste anything.
Cletus Hatfield had a question. Do you still advise taking a black friend?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've talked about that before. I won't get into it now, but yeah, like I said, if you're particularly brown and you go into a university, well, believe it or not, they're already programmed to be woke. And so they're going to think, oh, I'm helping out this unfortunate guy. I mean, and I've told the story before that I was offered $1,000 a month to come get food from this local university. I ain't kidding y'all, $1,000 a month. And then when I stood there speechless, they were like, do we need to pay you more? And I was like, what? I was going to come get it for free, but you want to break bread, I won't fake dead. So, I mean, folks, these options are out there because they want to feel good about the fact. I mean, and it was 600 pounds a day. That was more than I could bear, at least right now. So let me throw some of these others out there. And some of the people in the chat portion of the last video I did actually brought up some of these points. One of them was nursing homes. Really good spot. Guaranteed. Now, if they got a trash compactor, some of these times, look, y'all, you might want to bring a young kid. If you can't do it, you might have to get into a dumpster. Am I above it? Absolutely not. I've done it. Sometimes they've told me no, or one way this one place in Texas, it was a Brookshire's in Texas, used to do it was, well, I can't give it to you, but if you was to come over here and get it sitting on the side of this thing, you'd be shocked at how many people would do that for you.
Yeah.
They can't physically give it to you, but they ain't raising an eyebrow if you go get it, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these places now have these compactors, but there's places like Food Lion. A lot of Food Lions do not have compactors. They don't. And there was one in Asheville, south side of town. I would go over there. Guy was so willing to work with me. He was just so jazzed up about what I was doing because I was excited about what I was doing and I was telling him what I was doing. And he was willing to say, okay, man, you know, I'll hook you up. Homeless shelters. The lady I was interviewing, her name is Stephanie, in that video, she gives a lot of the food that they don't sell to homeless shelters. You would not believe how much food from a homeless shelter goes into the dumpster, and they don't feel good about it. Because honestly, folks, I'm not kidding y'all, around here, these homeless folks eat better than most of us.
Oh, yeah.
They're eating five-star cuisine from a lot of these places. I mean, from that bakery alone, they're getting organic everything. Everything in there is organic, and they don't eat it all.
Knowing how much
to the dumpster,
knowing how much they give away, it's amazing a bakery survives.
Yeah, man, it really is because they give away a ton. But think about it: the end users, places like food shelters or homeless shelters, they got nowhere else to go. Discount grocery stores, even convenience stores. This old boy goes down to the local feed store; he'll have his F-250 filled up to the brim. With day-old bread. Yeah. So, I mean, he's worked out a deal, and it works. Orchards. I've talked about y'all this time of year. You can go out to a lot of orchards, go pick up all their apples for free. You can literally do that. Now, they ain't going to let you touch them ones on the free, on the trees, but you can go out there, get them off the ground. I've done that for a whole long time, y'all. Schools. I already mentioned that. Here's one that somebody else brought up in the chat, and I hit them a lot. Y'all, this is a honey hole and a half, believe it or not, is Aldi. Yeah, I said it, Aldi. You're thinking, well, why Aldi in particular? Number one, they don't lock anything. They don't lock their dumpsters. And if they catch you, ain't nobody ever said nothing to me. You get in there on an Aldi any day of the week, y'all, you would be shocked at how much produce. I've hit them before, but it was a little out of my way, so I quit going there when I got easier. I've opened up so many opportunities that I got the pick of the litter. So the very, very best is the bakery because I know everything there is organic. Chipotle, talked about them, and I held that one by my chest for a long time.
Yeah, it was a long time before you gave that one up.
Yeah, I didn't give that one up right off, but think about it. Chipotle, The first time I hit them up, I actually ran into the general manager when I was going in there. You talk about Lord opening doors. I told him what I did. He says, look, man, every store in Asheville, man, you go ahead. His name was Chip. Real cool dude. He says, man, you take it all. Man, I was getting so much stuff. I mean, you could have fed. This is no exaggeration, y'all. Between the two stores at the time, at that time, I bet you could have fed 20 full-grown pigs and hundreds of chickens.
If nothing else, look at the – if anybody – a lot of you guys have been inside of Chipotle, and you see that wall behind the register that has the just bags and bags of chips. The vast majority of those get thrown out.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask me how I know.
Yeah. You'll get – because you'll get trash bags just full of those chips. Just full of those chips.
And then people would criticize me saying, well, you give all those salty chips to your pigs. Man, I've been feeding them pigs and shit them chips forever in a day. Pigs and chickens, they ain't never had no problems.
No.
So, you know, I don't know whoever came up with that. Somebody was trying to read me the riot act at one of these festivals. I'm like, I ain't never seen no problems. I mean, they're happy.
Yeah.
They might drink a little more water, but I ain't seen no problems at all.
Yeah, and they always have access to as much water as they want.
Aldi. Yeah, another person brought up pizza places. Now, I'm reluctant. That's a double-edged sword. Here's why I'm reluctant on a pizza place. I try to feed everything but chicken to chickens and everything pig to pig. The problem with Asian restaurants, you don't even want to mess with them. Trust me on that.
The chance of you feeding it back to its own animals pretty doggone low.
Yeah, there ain't no telling what you're going to find. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean here, but it's so hodgepodged. And there's so many different items that you can't make heads or tails, so it's better to not even play with it. I mean, pigs will eat anything pretty much, and so will chickens, but you just don't know what you're giving them. And there's so much junk in that stuff. Like I said, I've worked out so many relationships now that I don't have to feed them GMO. And these pigs and chickens eat better than most people.
Well, also there's an issue with prionic diseases. So if you're getting meat from, like, there's an issue with feeding a pig back to a pig and a chicken back to a chicken. Yeah, that's what they would do in nature, but we can kind of make that a little bit better. But also, if you're getting ground products from like a restaurant or like an Asian restaurant or something like that, look at like chicken nuggets. They're not taking chicken breasts and chicken thigh meat and all that stuff and making a chicken nugget. They're taking all the scrap pieces. So there's a good chance that there's the nervous system of that animal in that little chicken nugget. Same thing with like whatever ground pork options they might have. So the chance of feeding back that nervous system to that animal is considerably higher. So you want to be aware of that.
Yeah. Some person saying Aldi close to me locks their dumpster. Yeah. I haven't run into that problem in any of the ones I've been to. Plus, you know, the stuff they have is going to be much higher quality. Folks, you would be absolutely shocked. We are at a time where you better be thinking, even if you don't actually go through with it, you might want to start thinking about those other options because, you know, so many of us that do this work, we're very proud of the fact that we produce our own food. But are you saving any money? Are you doing it? Because right now, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm saying it as we've done it and we do it. We raise our pigs for 21 cents a pound, raise all of our chickens for free, our meat birds for free. In fact, make money on the deal when you count the compost component and the chicken tractor on steroids. We raise all of our layers with nothing more than, you know, a little bit of store-bought feed. You don't even need that at all. Or if you supplement, I mean, it will save you a pile of money. Another one I used to hit a lot before I made a deal with local places. Believe it or not, Jimmy John's throws out a lot of bread. And chickens love that stuff. What's that other bread place? Panera.
Yeah, Homesteading Pastor just said Panera Bread. Yep. How about Panera Bread?
Panera Bread. I used to get tons out of there. And then one of the reasons I stopped going there is because I got this other bakery that makes much better bread. And I know that there's no junk in it. But honestly, Panera, how many times have I filled up the whole back of that truck?
Oh, yeah.
From just one stop at a Panera. Just one stop.
Yeah.
And if you work with them, now they're going to always, Panera's always going to try to give it away to, they're going to give some away, but there's a lot they throw away too.
Right. And you usually have dope head encounters over at the dumpsters at Panera. I don't know what it is, man, with dope heads and Panera, but they love it.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Panera and bookstores.
I found last time I was at this one Panera, I was back there by the dumpster and right there, man, the saddest thing ever, man. You see this guy's phone. He must've been so bombed out of his mind. The phone was still on And there's a needle and a spoon and stuff all there next to it. It just breaks you down like, man, what brought this person to this? Man. And it couldn't have been long ago because the phone is, the screen's open. It's still like, on, yeah, man. It's on. I wouldn't touch nothing. And I was like, man, too many crazy possible needle encounters. But yeah, you can, Panera is a gold mine. A lot of Mexican restaurants too, but pizza places, it's not always that great because a lot of it, they're putting raw dough down there. And it's not that the animals won't eat it. I haven't seen any negative effects. It's just a nightmare dealing with it because you got to get home. And you want, I mean, places like Jimmy John's and all, you'd be shocked at how everything's like right there, ready, easy to go. Aldi, I'm glad whoever brought that up. I wish I could remember their names. But yeah, I was like,
some
man.
People want you to stop bringing up Aldi. They're that? Saying don't advertise. They're going to close them. They're going to start shutting them down.
Well, I mean, the thing is, the sky's the limit. But I'm telling you, the biggest honey hole that you can probably get is going to be a homeless shelter. And then, you know, pay it forward. With some of what you get out of there, maybe some of the people that work that shelter, this is one of the ways. Bring them some honey. Say, hey, if nothing else, I mean, honestly, thank you for what you do. I mean, these are thankless jobs. You're out there helping people. This is, you're doing things, you were doing salt of the earth kind of work, looking after these people. You don't work at a homeless shelter because you get rich. You do it 9 times out of 10 because you're a good person. And so even if the answer is no, still be a net benefit to these people and drop off things like, you know, maybe you got some eggs, you know, bring, hey, this came from my farm and this is a result of the food you gave me. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Go in there, touch bases with them because I'm friends with these people. You go in there, see how you can be a blessing to them. Like in my case, I am an electrician. So from time to time when they got electrical issues, who do you think they're calling? And I'm happy to help them out. And it's a two-way street. Just let them know that they're loved, that they're appreciated, and that you're thankful. And then from time to time when you're able, share some of the bounty. Drop off some eggs. Maybe, you know, if you process some chickens, drop them off a couple of chickens. Hey, this is from the farm. You know, the stuff you're throwing in that dumpster ain't going to waste. Here's what it made for you.
Yeah. You know, you definitely could.
You can do that in so many different ways. So, folks, those are some of the big, I've done a show similar like this before, but I can't emphasize it enough. Inflation's only going to get higher. A lot of us got animals out there and we're looking for plan Bs on how to feed them. Yeah, chicken tractor on steroids is great, but it is labor intensive. So you got to factor that in there too, because you're putting a lot of muscle work into that. Raising pigs, man, that's one of the best things around when it comes to taking some of these scraps. Because honestly, like I said, I mean, just the resources I've acquired, I can't even tell you how many animals I could raise if I had the infrastructure to make it happen. So it's all available to you out there, folks, but start thinking about outside the box. Maybe look at it. If you're driving to work, kind of look at it. Just play a little game with yourself. Look to your left and right and say, huh, you know what? I'll go in there. Just go say hi. Just go look the place over like you're casing the joint. And then you come back a little bit later, be nice to them. And then later on, maybe develop a little bit of a, you know, even look, if I can do it in small town DeKalb, Texas, it can be done everywhere. Those Vietnamese donut shops that they got all over Texas. I don't know what it is with the Vietnamese and the donut shops, but there has not been a single one of them that turned me down.
No.
Not one.
No.
And it's little things like that. Just show them, you know, you're thankful and they're a blessing to you. All right. Hopefully that was a blessing to you, y'all. We're going to go into I can never say it right. Chef Keith Snow at Harvest Eating.
Chef Keith Snow with your Pimp Cast tip of the day. Building food security, don't forget the flavor. Building food security takes careful thought. People often forget to consider flavor. Storing hundreds of pounds of rice or wheat is only going to get you so far. What about spices? What about sauces, seasonings? Items like soy sauce, vinegar, condiments, salsas. These items in general store pretty well for years in some cases, and they are cheap enough to replace every so often. For example, I store many bottles of soy sauce, fish sauce, different types of salsa, rice wine vinegar, cider vinegar, all types of vinegars, oyster sauce. So I can take some jasmine rice, add whatever protein and vegetables I have laying around with a few eggs from the coop and make some delicious fried rice that's packed with flavor. You want to eat plain steamed rice when the economy crumbles? Yeah, I didn't think so. Remember, a sack of beans isn't worth a hill of beans with no flavor. So get cracking and become a student at foodstoragefeast.com. Use the coupon code PERMA and you'll save 30 bones. Take care.
Chef Snow's going to give up his location cooking stir fry or fried rice.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love what he's doing there. This is why I'm so glad that he's part of the show, is because he's taking really humble ingredients and showing you, hey, just do this, this, and this, and it makes all the difference in the world. I never understood, man. I mean, good night. I just can't eat straight up white rice with nothing on it, but I know people that can. I just ain't one of them. I mean, you got to do something to it. It's like, to me, it would be like eating a potato with no salt.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah. I could eat rice with just like salt and butter.
No, when I was a kid growing up, because we were so broke being raised by my grandmother, one of the staple things we ate for breakfast was honestly just rice.
Yeah.
And boy, you got like, you could eat all the rice you wanted. That was what we ate for breakfast. But then again, it was a grandmom and raising six boys. And I remember to this day, you could have all the cinnamon you wanted, but and you don't need that much. And that's what we put on it for breakfast. All the cinnamon you want, but you better get one teaspoon of that sugar, boy. She's watching that sugar dish, and boy, you got your hand under it as you're going under there holding that. You get that one teaspoon. You don't look for two. You better do it all with one. You try to make sure every grain was on that rice. But yeah, that's, instead of cereal, a lot of kids ate cereal and stuff like that. We didn't eat cereal. We ate cream of wheat, malto meal. Rice was one of them. And, you know, I remember rice was really, really cheap back then. That's what poor people had to do back in the day. All right, so we're going to get in the Q&A, y'all. If you got any in the chat, I know there was somebody in there. Hopefully we don't miss you.
Yeah, I got one from them.
Okay, right off the bat, Anna says, I'm loving the PimpCast. As always, you mentioned several times about the weather apps on the phone being undependable. I totally agree. Now, she brings up Weatherman Plus and how accurate he is, and you're absolutely right, Anna, because believe it or not, Michelle watches that dude religiously regarding the weather. And sure enough, that dude's giving like a weather report all the way around, and his weather is right on the money, but every time I go to that phone app or anything like it, wrong.
Yeah, it's consistently wrong.
Yeah. And it's like it's done on purpose.
Got one from Jackson Newton in the comment section or in the chat section. Question, I have relatives that own commercial chicken houses that are open to shifting more regenerative ways, but still need to pay the bills. Any recommendations on them becoming regenerative? Having seen those commercial houses and been to those chicken houses, I would, off the bat, the first thing I would recommend doing is cutting the population in half and introducing some compost into those situations.
Problem is, what those systems are, they're so mechanical, they're so mechanistic, that it's kind of hard to overlay any permaculture in that particular system.
Or is there a way to add multiple doors to those chicken houses? Still reduce the population for sure. Add multiple doors to those chicken houses and allow them access to the outside. I wonder if that's a way, or if there's a way to do maybe multiple, like the inside of the chicken coop, your commercial chicken coop is where you go around work. That's where they all go in at night and stuff like that. But you have multiple doors and fences coming off the outside of the chicken coop where you can let them in and out.
I don't know that there's any real way under that mechanistic system to even make it holistic. I think you gotta strip it down. I'd have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, but honestly, just knowing how those things work, it's so mechanistic that I don't know that you could.
Well, a lot of those chicken houses, I don't know if you have to look at it from a case-to-case basis because they're all identical.
Yeah.
And that is kind of the issue, is that they're all identical. But just on the face of it, the population of chickens in those chicken houses definitely needs to be drastically reduced. And I would just try introducing some compost in there, like compost piles, multiple compost piles. See how that goes. I don't know if it would be any better. I really don't know.
I don't think you have the option. You have to go with their mechanistic way of doing everything. Otherwise, you ain't working for them no more. I mean, I've talked to a number of guys that run those or have been in those operations.
Yeah.
And they're basically telling you how to tie your shoes in a lot of those operations. You almost have to escape it completely, but so many are tied. I would start a whole nother separate operation. Okay, so let's say you're mixed up with Tyson here. If you got the land, maybe run some holistic birds out there and sell them out the back door, you know, at your local farmer's market or whatever.
You might be kind of stuck because half the time Tyson or Pilgrim are the ones that built those chicken houses. No, I'm saying
not on that. Using something like a Salatin style tractor, wean, if maybe that's a way to wean yourself off of it. While you're doing that one operation, start a holistic operation, let's say raising meat birds the way Joel Salatin does.
No, hey, I'm saying that I think they're stuck in, a lot of people are stuck in the situation because Tyson or Pilgrim came and built the infrastructure on their property, gave them the chickens and had all the feed, but they still have the money in for the infrastructure that was built on the property. So they might have to make that work somehow.
No, I'm saying you could still be doing that. And then on the side, if you could, get yourself working another system entirely. So that may be, I don't know. It would depend on the case-by-case basis. All right, so Robert's saying, enjoyed the mulching video a while back. I have access to an abundance of mesquite trees, and I was wondering if the leaves would be a nitrogen fixer. Afraid the answer is no. And that's not the way really nitrogen fixation works. You know, there's a couple of really... There's probably multiple ways. There's really a couple that we truly know about. And one is using the nitrogen fixing nodules. And so basically you got these little nodules that are down on the end of your nitrogen fixing, let's say, tree. And it interacts with a tree that doesn't have nitrogen fixation. So there's a symbiosis that occurs. Doesn't work that way where you just drop it onto the leaves. It happens in the soil. So no, I'm afraid that's not how it works.
Got one from Big Bear Homestead. Billy, how do you suggest educating old time farmers that live and die by chemicals and monoculture? I don't know if you can.
Yeah. I was going to say that a lot of those people are so tied to the bottom of Plato's cave in terms of doing that my wife's family is a perfect example of this, where they're generational farmers working the same piece of land. And all the ladies, strangely enough, in the family want to try more holistic methods of doing things. And then the guys' knee-jerk reaction is absolutely not. This is the way we've been doing it forever and a day. We ain't changing nothing. And believe it or not, these are very unhappy people. Very unhappy people. And it seems like all the women want to change up. And all the guys are like, no, this is the way it's always been done. Which is, by the way, the answer I detest most when I ask somebody why it is they do something and they say, well, it's the way it's always been done. Doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. So there's this massive reluctance of change when it really wouldn't take much to tweak that thing and to get into a holistic way of doing it.
Yeah, I think a lot of the old timers are in love with exactly what it is that they're doing. I think they love the process of putting out, like driving their tractor for hours and days on end and refertilizing and cultivating and all that kind of stuff. I think they're in love with that process, and changing that would mean that process is now gone. I think the better focus is probably educating the next generation and making sure the next generation of farmers are using holistic practices and stuff like that. Because it doesn't take a whole lot of us to really start to make that the norm. You know what I mean? Like, the tipping point on that is pretty low. Like, we don't need every old farmer to switch their practices and stuff. We just need enough new farmers to do it correctly.
I remember telling Greg Judy about this time where there was a video and somebody scrubbed it from the internet of all these different farmers that have been running their cattle the traditional way. Okay. They all were convinced to try it the way Greg Judy does. To a person, every last one of them said, absolutely, it works. Works like nobody's business, but it's too much work. Okay, so what, spending 10, 15 minutes moving your cows every day is too much work? They got so accustomed to just putting their cows out in the field and then rotating them every month and a half or so instead of moving them every single day, when it really doesn't require that much work once you understand the system. So they all did it for a season. Every last one of them to a person agreed that it worked and then said, well, it was too much work. And then when you get down to brass tacks, I'd love to be able to find that video again, but I looked for it. It is scrubbed. They all admitted that it works, but it's too much work. What, 30 minutes a day?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of these people are just kind of tied to the hip and how they do things. And those are typically people I try not to spend a whole lot of time with, the ones who are unwilling to learn new ways. And you know what? It's old timers that came up with the methods that do work. It's, you know, Jim Garish, Greg Judy, Joel Salatin, Alan Nation, Alan Savory. The list is long. Ian Mitchell Ennis. I mean, all these people are older people, and it's just people are reluctant to try it a different way. You know, I don't know how anybody who's a neighbor of Greg Judy's says, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to keep running the cattle the way I've been.
Or a neighbor of Joel Salatin.
Right.
There is a vast difference between his farm and the surrounding farms. Or the neighbor of Joel, like Jeff Lawton. That was the most dramatic difference. The cows next door are mooing at us because we have grass and they're over there starving to death. Like, the entire state of Australia was going through, or not state, but the entire country of Australia was going through a drought when I was there, and Jeff Lawton's farm was completely green.
Completely unaffected.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, it goes to show, but it is amazing to me that all the neighbors around Greg Judy aren't saying, oh, shoot, maybe I need to do that, but they don't. And there were all the ones around Joel or so many other people that are doing so many wonderful things. You'll find that their neighbors are just absolutely reluctant to change this generational way of doing things. It's just, even though the bottom line is you'd be money ahead.
Yeah.
Just by doing this, if you're not having to throw a bunch of inputs at them. All right. So howdy, I'm Britt. Okay. I can't go through all this, but basically he's out there in Arizona. Sounds like he's doing a lot of really cool stuff. He says, any advice on farming a 100-year flood zone that is essentially a giant swale in the desert climate? Huh? Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be cute here, but the truth of it is you can describe it all you want, but you really can't give any real advice until you see it.
I mean, just being in Australia, I would be trying to harvest water in every way possible, putting, like, making sure every inch of land is harvesting water somehow with either organic matter or swale or whatever, and making sure every, like, rooftop is harvesting water. As far as, like, other than that, can't really give you too much advice. Also, I mean, make sure your spillways on your, like, swales and stuff like that, or your overflows on your rainwater tanks, make sure those are all squared away for your 100-year event, because you don't know when that's going to be, but you can base it off the last one.
Well, you might want to also consider, because I'm making certain assumptions here, but I think I'd put my house as high in that landscape as I possibly could, too.
You might be the only house in Arizona on stilts.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the nastiest. I remember being in Las Vegas one time, and it was the worst rain event, worst flooding I ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Freezing cold. Your mom and me were out there, and it was absolutely freezing cold. Raining cats and dogs like you would not believe. And it was right there in Las Vegas. And because they're not equipped for it, I mean, good night. Man, that rain was coming out there like nothing I've ever seen before. And nobody was doing really anything to catch it. But, yeah, I got to make certain assumptions. But I'd make sure I put my living quarters as high as in that landscape as I possibly could.
Got one from AP Tongaloid on the Fountain app. Anytime I hear my town name and I have the sats, I will drop some SATs on my favorite PIMPs. Hashtag Tonganoxie.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know who that is?
Yeah, he's commented a few times before. Yeah, he's out of Tonganoxie. I don't know. We might know each other. I mean, it's possible. Tonganoxie ain't that big.
Yeah, he's talking about Tonganoxie, Kansas, for those that don't know. Yeah, so I got one here. This is from... Look, I read the good and the bad stuff too, y'all. So this one here is from Tammy. It says bone sauce worked good last year. However, it's not working this year. We've had deer in all of our food areas eating our new apple trees. Would appreciate any help. By the way, I added new rags saturated in bone sauce, just like I did last year, and painted on the trees. Okay. Hopefully you've done that correctly. The truth of it is, okay. So if you're having problems with the bone sauce right now, I'm gonna tell you a little trick that helps enhance it. And the deer are doing weird things this year. I'm not saying it's a panacea. It's not going to solve all your problems, but it's the best thing out there. There ain't even a close second.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. Get some pig blood. I'm dead serious. Get some pig blood or beef blood. Mix some of that into your bone sauce and then stick it out there.
You can get that in the Asian market.
Yeah, you can go to Asian market and get that in these little tubs. mix some of that into your bone sauce, and then stick it out there and then give it another shot. See if that doesn't do the trick. You may have to do that from time to time. But deer can't stand the smell of blood. So, go ahead and give that a shot. See if it works out for you.
Got one from Nitro Soil on the Fountain app. Hashtag tip a pimp. What's a permaculture method to remove Bermuda grass from a location to start sheep mulching garden in Texas? Remove with the tractor bucket to bare dirt first. After that's done, go to edge plant recommendations that can keep the grass back.
Yeah, Nicholas Bertner, I remember he had a little method using comfrey as something of a barrier. There was something else that he used in conjunction with it. I don't recall what. Reach out to Nicholas Bertner at School of Permaculture. I remember he seemed to have an effective way to use a barrier. But at the same time, man, that Bermuda grass is something else. I mean, it's, man, I wish they'd never made it. I mean, honestly.
You have to, like, keep out competing it. You have to make sure it gets no access to light at all. And you have to keep, like, you have to out compete its potential energy. And considering it's like a rhizome plant, like its roots aren't directly underneath it, it's, you know, usually spreads out and stuff like that. You're out competing a very large plant. So yeah, like you said, scraping it, flipping it upside down, sheet mulching over the top of it, comfrey around the edges is a pretty good bet. And, but you're going to have to keep applying mulch.
Yeah.
It's not going to be like one season and you're good. You're going to have to keep doing it for a few seasons.
Yeah. That's one thing I have noticed with the Bermuda grass is that if you just keep sheet mulching over it, you can beat it back for that season. Then you're going to be right back into your bed sheet mulching again. But that's, you're building a ton of soil at the same time. So, and if you can also make it a higher fungal environment, I think Bermuda grass is not going to love it there so much. So double check me on that. But if you can make it a higher fungal environment, I think it's going to be less hospitable. So, or it's not going to feel like it has a home there.
Yeah. I mean, if you do make it a higher fungal environment, depending on what you're trying to grow in there, whether it's vegetables or anything past that succession, Bermuda grass won't thrive in that because they're more early successional grasses.
Yeah. So it shouldn't. There, like I said, I'm just doing this off the top of my head, so I don't really know for sure, but that would be my best guess.
Got one from Strider 47 on the Fountain app. Great show, pimps. War is a Racket can be found on YouTube in several places. The entire collection of speeches can be listened to in about an hour. To further your point about folks that have never thrown a punch banging the war drum versus those who have, here's a quote by General MacArthur. The soldier above all others prays for peace. For it is the soldier who must suffer and bear the deepest wounds and scars of war. Hashtag vets for peace. Hashtag tip a pimp. And just because, hashtag for vets for child rescue.
Yeah. Right on as always, Strider. Point of it being, with a lot of this stuff, I'm just shocked these days at the people out here calling for war.
Yeah.
Some of these pastors out there, I just can't even believe what's coming out of their mouths. Like, you know, all the way for when I'm hearing people that should be saying, hey, let's seek peace. And they're saying, well, we need to kill them all. I'm like, what? What? I mean, what do you, first of all, look at this whole situation up one side, down the other. At the end of the day, we should all want peace. And I got strong feelings, and I've talked about it before, about the official story of just about everything. And I think I can prove beyond all doubt that the official story in this case is hogwash. In fact, I can prove it. I can just downright prove it. Not going to get into that right now, but yeah, there's a, you know, it's something else where you see the biggest war drums being hit by out there are people like Sean Hannity, never spilled blood in his life. And you know that Ben Shapiro ain't ever done nothing. I mean,
he spilled his own blood.
Yeah. I mean, the point of it
once
being,
a month,
you're wanting to go over there. All these people that are saying, let's go over there and send our kids over there to go die. What, no matter where it is on the planet, I don't see any of them having served a single day in their lives for anybody.
Yeah.
Much less, and it ain't got to be military service. I'm talking in the service of anybody. And like I said, there's a bunch of different ways to serve, and it doesn't have to be in the military. You know, show me a list of selfless things that these people have ever done, but that the first one saying, let's send our boys over there to go get murdered.
Got one from Po' Boy on the Fountain app. This is the last one from the Fountain app. I'd love to see a list of recommended history books from Billy. Hashtag tip a pimp. You got any off the top of your head?
No. I love historical fiction. I'll tell you one that'll really, you know, I'd have to think about that because I really got to put some work in it. But I'll tell you a fun book to read.
Do you know which one you're talking about?
Yes, one of my favorites. It's called The Walking Drum by Louis L'Amour. I know it sounds crazy, but it's a historical fiction, and it is fantastic for the historical construct. And it's going to give you some – it's actually, there's part of that book that's going to overlay with what's happening in the world right now. And it's a really good read, easy read. It's a fun book, and it's a really good way to teach history. That's one cool thing about historical fiction is that it's a good way to convey history, and that's one of the books I made him read when he was little. So,
but it's awesome, and it's cool because Louis L'Amour did mostly like westerns, and this one took place in Europe, which was awesome.
Yeah, yeah. And it honestly talks about a part of the world. I always wish that he had written a part two to that, because the story could have went on for a while, but I thought it was a really good historical fiction.
Yeah.
That's a fun way to get people, I think, into it. Anything by Anthony Sutton is going to blow your mind because it's going to go 180 degrees from anything you've been officially told.
Glenn said, Unintended Consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glenn
Sargent, he's a friend of mine. Well, I'll tell you another one you might even want to go look at is, okay, I sent this one to Joel Salatin. It's called The Real Lincoln by Thomas DiLorenzo. And everybody thinks Lincoln was the best thing since sliced bread when it comes to U.S. presidents. Well, you know what? If you read what he wrote in his own words, you might think about him a little bit differently. Lincoln was not who you thought he was. That's, I know people are like, what? And they're dropping the mic. Like, no, he was the greatest thing ever. They taught us in history. Well, go to the Lincoln Monument in Washington, D.C., and go look at the quotes sitting on that monument. I mean, it's right there for you to read. Then read this book by Thomas DiLorenzo. It's called The Real Lincoln. And you hear him in his own words. This is a primary sources. This is Lincoln talking. And he's not what you were. This is what I'm finding out is that everything we've been officially told in history is wrong. Is absolutely, it's a manufactured lie. And what do they say? It's a lie agreed upon. That's what a lot of history is. So I better quit right there because believe me, I could do another 5 hours on that topic alone, but maybe start right there because that's some fun reads right there.
Yeah. That's all the questions I got. But we got another one from Tonganoxie. What are the odds of that? Andy Pearson. Wow. Tonganoxie in the house. There's two people from Tonganoxie, Kansas listening to the podcast.
Wow. Small world for sure, man. Yeah. I remember back here working around that area, man. Everybody would say, boy, you better stay away from them Tonganoxie girls. They would just talk to each other. They're like, boy, you better stay away from them Tonganoxie girls, man. He said, they're crazy. I don't know what that was all about, but I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know what's going on out there with the Tonganoxie girls, but yeah, they apparently, yeah, I'm right there with you, Andy.
Yeah, Lincoln sucked. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, if you read this guy in his own words, he's not at all what everybody said he was. I mean, and then all these people that they've demonized in history, yeah, they deserved many of them to be demonized, but some of them were not as bad as they let on.
Last question from the chat is Angela Morrison. How do you get rid of goat herds? They seem to be trying to take over my whole farm.
Well, you ask that English lady we talked to the other day. She'll choke them down for you.
Call up Callie, have them strangled.
Yeah, that was boy. And I've heard a lot of crazy stories. I ain't never heard of nobody choking down a goat, but she did. So, yeah, as far as how to get rid of the goat herds, what?
Yeah, that's all the information I got. As far as, I mean, you could start blasting them. I don't know if they're your goats or if they're there on purpose or if, I don't even know where you are, honestly. They might be native to the area, but you could start maybe blasting them or putting up hot wire maybe. You could even put up hot wire around what you're trying to protect if they're trying to destroy your farm.
Yeah, somebody in the chat says, even if people listen to the letters that Robert Gould Shaw wrote, he was the commander of the 54th Massachusetts. Well, a little history on my end. I know it was made popular by the movie Glory, but my great, I forget how many grandfathers back, he actually fought in the 54th Massachusetts Infantry.
There's a picture of him around here somewhere.
Yeah, I got a picture of him. It's a sad story, really, because I remember in this bubble case growing up, my grandmother had a picture of him in all of his regalia from the Civil War. He'd survived it. And it was this ornate picture frame. And his picture, it was like a shaped like an oval on the front. And the glass was an oval. It was original glass from the time. Well, come back years later at my grandmother's funeral and went down to the basement, found that picture. And the only thing left of it was a rat-eaten picture of his. The face was still there and the hat. And a little bit, that was about it. It was like the rats were mocking us. So one of my aunts or uncles or cousins or whoever had basically stolen that very, probably for a carton of cigarettes or something, probably took the frame, threw the picture on the floor despite the history. Anyway, he was in the 54th Massachusetts Infantry. And interesting history there. But yeah, Robert Gould Shaw, I never read any of his writings, but I also heard that he was not the guy that they made out in the movie Glory. So I'd be curious to check that out. So I'd love to know. Mm. A lot of history is not at all what they say. I mean, well, I could go on and on and on. If folks, another resource you want to check out, The Ultimate History Lesson with John Taylor Gatto. It is a long, you might want to double the speed up because he had had a stroke at that point, but his mind was still very much sharp. So go check that out. You're going to be glad you did in so many different ways. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Check us out on the Fountain app. Check out the audio podcast. Till next time, y'all, stay alert.
Stay alive. Cause got me out of body like I'm Goku SS3. They wanna push me to the center like a sub, they wanna swing up at the center of the next is me. They want me to run. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I will never let go. Cause I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior. Bye.